Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I've never heard of such a group.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Good afternoon, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving, Jesus, happy Valentine's Day, I should say. Man, I'm all the way back in November. I know what it is. I'm still thinking about the election. Anyway, welcome, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on the web. It's on blogtalkradio.com, and everywhere else in America, it's on AM FM Broadcasting Network. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, I have to break from my show prep. I have to break from my show prep because I have a special announcement. What's going on? There's a mental health crisis in America right now today, ladies and gentlemen. There is a mental health crisis as we speak. And it starts in the White House. It starts with President Trump, who has really lost his mind. So President Trump is still... You remember the old 80s TV show Fantasy Island where Mr. Rourke can tattoo and you could go to Fantasy Island and Mr. Rourke would cook up whatever your fantasy is and you could act it out and play it out for a small fee. Well, Donald Trump, President Trump, is on Fantasy Island right now, ladies and gentlemen. He's on Fantasy Island. And it's not just the president. It's not just President Trump. It's the right wing, it's the GOP, the kook fringe Republicans who have totally lost their mind. You see, because ladies and gentlemen, they're so busy trying to clean up for President Trump, so busy that it's unbelievable what's going on right now in America. You see, because the excuses, they're running out of excuses right now. They're running out of excuses. And there's a mental health crisis. And it's not just President Trump. And it's not just the kook fringe GOP, the right wingers, and et cetera, et cetera. It's the conservative talk radio. It's ordinary Americans. They are all losing their minds. But guess what? But don't fret, progressives and liberals, Democrats. You're all safe because it's this disease, this mental health disease, is indigenous only to the kook fringe GOP, the right wing, the Republicans. It's only indigenous to them. So progressives, don't fret. You have nothing to worry about. You're going to be okay. Progressive liberals, Democrats, you're going to be just fine. Anyway, it's Ron Kelly's show, everybody. It's on blogtalkradio.com. And it's on the AM/FM Broadcasting Network. Thank you so much. We got a little boost in the ratings last week. We had a little technical difficulty, but we're here today, and we're going to make it happen for you just the way you like. Coming up a little later on in the program, we'll talk about the billion-dollar Trump cabinet. And we're going to get into this. We're going to get into the excuses, the alternative facts, the denial, just not just a river in Egypt, ladies and gentlemen. Denial is running rampant in the government, running rampant. You see, because as I alluded to earlier, the excuses, if somebody says something bad about the president, let's say if a TV show or a news show, news channel, whatever, it's fake news. So if you say anything bad about President Trump, it's fake. Judges, he just appointed Mr. Gorsuch to be the next Supreme Court justice, and then he's kicking judges' backs in and actually in the Court of Appeals where Judge Gorsuch has come from. You see, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not just him. It's Sean Spicer. It's Kellyanne Conwoman. You know, it's all of them. And poor Michael Flynn. We're going to get into this. I had to break from my show prep, everybody. I had to break from my show prep because the kook fringe GOP has really lost it. So here's the latest excuse. This is the latest excuse. This is hot off the presses. The latest excuse. Now, you remember when before President Obama left office, he had said, he announced that he would stay in Washington because so Sasha, or is it Malia, which one of them, the youngest one, could stay in high school and graduate before they moved. But see, the GOP, and see, the excuses, they've worn out the excuses. They've worn out the excuses. So the fake news is worn out. You know, the denial is worn out. It's all of the excuses they've been using is worn out. So here's the newest one, and this is coming from Conservative Talk Radio. This is the newest excuse that President Obama you can't make this stuff up. These people are absolutely loony. The kook fringe, GOP, the right wingers. You don't hear too much about the other kooky branches of the GOP and the right wingers. But now here's the latest one. President Obama is, and this comes from Conservative Talk Radio. President Obama has 35,000 member minions out there who are disrupting everything. See, because that's the other excuse, bought and paid for. You know, like nobody in America, you know, has the mindset. No one in America is able to make their own decisions. And it's impossible for the GOP or anybody on the right wing to protest what the right wingers are doing. It's impossible to them. So anytime there's a protest, anytime there's anything against the GOP, they're bought and paid for by the Democrats. Oh, boy. Where do you find these people? So here's what's happening. Now, several Republican congressmen have been having town halls. They're having town halls on the ACA or what's called Obamacare. And there are people there who are protesting. So here we go. Here we go. The kook fringe right wingers. Here we go. They're paid. They're bought and paid for. Not just bought and paid. The George Soros, who, and we never even hear about George Soros. And the conspiracy theories are all over the place. So President Obama allegedly has 32,000 to 35,000 people, has just opened 250 offices all across the country. And Organization for America, which is President Obama's organization, is behind this conspiracy, this right-wing conspiracy theory that they're sending people to the Republican congressional town hall meetings. They're buying and paying for protesters to go to some of these outings, some of these town halls, and protest. You know, so it's impossible for someone in the GOP, it's impossible for someone on the right to protest what another right, a person on the right is doing. In their estimation, that's impossible. So what they do is, so the story now is that they've been, the GOP, the Democrats, George Soros, Barack Obama has a 35,000. Barack Obama has 35,000 people all across America poised and waiting to attack the GOP, waiting for anything that the GOP does, and they'll send their troops in to disrupt it. Just the most outrageous nonsense I've ever heard in my life. You see, because the Republicans are scrambling. They're scrambling to make sense of President Trump. Scrambling. You see, because you know the general consensus was that President Trump, once he got into office, he would calm down. He would stop tweeting. He would stop, you know, acting, being Trump, and he would get presidential. Nah, didn't work. He kept tweeting. He still comes up with nonsense. 3 million people illegally voted in the United States of America. I mean, are you kidding me? And he just says one outrageous thing after another, and the GOP, the kook fringe right wing, is scrambling, trying to make sense of President Trump. And they can't do it. They can't do it. So they come up with excuse after excuse. Oh, it's the media. Oh, it's Obama's minions. Oh, and they even started talking about Hillary Clinton in the emails. Hillary, I mean, that is so old. So Michael Flynn, who resigned from the National Security Advisor position, used to work for Barack Obama. So they're tying what happened with Flynn to Barack Obama. You see, now, these are the same people who screamed to the top of their lungs when Barack Obama came into office in 2008 and mentioned the financial recession that the country was going through at the time that he was elected. Oh, you don't, you're blaming it on Bush. They're blaming it on George Bush. Stop talking about George Bush. Blah, 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 blah. Stop talking about George Bush. And here we go. Here we are, 25 days into the Trump administration. 25 days. And they're talking about Barack Obama. Barack Obama, upon leaving office, had set a plot to destroy Trump's presidency. Barack Obama. Oh boy, this is just the gift that just keeps on giving. The Trump administration, the Trump presidency, is the gift that keeps on giving. He's moved from the apprentice to the White House. And they're both reality shows, or non-reality shows. There was, you know, the Apprentice was more real than the Trump White House. It's just totally ridiculous. Oh boy, I'm just loving all of this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, a little later on in the program, I had to break from my show prep, you know, to talk about this thing. They just can't do it. Because Donald Trump has befuddled everybody, including Donald Trump, and they can't do it. They can't do it. It's not happening, ladies and gentlemen. In any case, everybody, you know, John Dalberg Acton once said, power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. And he couldn't have been more correct, as absolute power is on full display as the Trump administration powers through the Democrats like a hot knife through butter, and they are powerless to stop it. A little bit later on in the program, ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what the Dems should be doing instead of filibustering and protesting and testifying against any of Trump's nominees, because it doesn't work and they're all getting it anyway. Even the incompetent Betsy DeVos, who couldn't have looked more worse, it had to be rescued by Vice President Pence, who is also the Senate president, who had to break a 50-50 tie so she could get in. She couldn't have been more incompetent. It was like a skit from Saturday Night Live when she was at the confirmation hearings. Just totally ridiculous. Okay, we're backing better than ever, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, it's on blogtalkradio.com. And across the country, it's on AM, FM Broadcasting Network. Now, you can follow me on Twitter, it's R. Kelly Show. And on Facebook, it's The Ron Kelly Show. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, the first 25 days of the Trump hierarchy has been the most tumultuous of any newly elected president, probably in the history of this country. And I shudder to think what other chaos the Trump administration can create in the next 75 days. Now, this portion of the Ron Kelly Show is brought to you by Burkett Promotions. Go to burkettpromotions.com for all your promotional needs. I just, you know, it's Black History Month, everybody. A little later on, we'll talk about the Negro Motorist Green Book. You think that driving while black was a problem now, is a problem now. I'll tell you about how it was back in the day. We'll talk about that a little later after the break. And all the talk about Mexico, and, you know, what are Mexico's immigration laws? What are Mexico's immigration laws? So I'm going to talk to you about what would happen if you went over there, what their laws are compared to the laws of the United States of America. Oh, man. You know, I want to play, and I'm going to play a little bit of Trump. I'm going to play a little bit of Trump and O'Reilly. Not now. I'm going to play a little bit of Trump. And, okay, put that on hold. Okay, yeah, I'm going to play a little bit about Trump. I'm going to play a little bit of Trump and O'Reilly. I tried to do it last week. We had technical difficulties, and I wasn't able to complete the show. But, you know, we got it on Smash today, and we're going to bring it all to you right here on the Ron Kelly Show. So everybody in Tampa, Boulder, let me see if I can get this right. Tampa, Boulder, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Milwaukee, Macon, Georgia, and somewhere else, Las Vegas. Okay, there you go. 10 stations strong, 6 cities all across the United States of America. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, right? When I come back, I got so much going on here for you because the kook fringe Republicans have lost their cotton picket minds. And this is a time that Democrats need to take advantage of. The Democrats, the progressive radio is about to explode, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to be right on the bandwagon when the progressive radio is definitely going to explode. And we're all going to, as progressive talk radio hosts, are going to benefit from the Trump mess that's being created. And we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about Michael Flynn, who got caught. Michael Flynn, who got caught with his hand in the Russian cookie jar. We'll talk about that. It's the gift. I'll tell you, you can't make this stuff up. You can't. And, you know, and also the woman who was deported, she said she felt like Chapo Guzman. Really? The woman who was deported, the illegal immigrant who was defended in Phoenix, says she felt like Chapo Guzman. She got the royal motorcade out of this country. Really? We'll talk about that. I got a lot of stuff here. I'm going to try to pack it in to this power-packed hour we got going on right here, everybody. So what we'll do is take a quick break. Just about 20 minutes after the hour, past the hour, we'll take a break and we'll come right back with more of the program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. And all across the country, it's on AM/FM Broadcasting Network.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Your bathroom break is over. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
To the Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right. Yes, indeed. And welcome back. It's Ron Kelly Show. On the web, it's on blogtalkradio.com. And all across America, it's on the AM/FM Broadcasting Network. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me this afternoon. Once again, on Twitter, get those Twitter followers up. Everybody, it's R. Kelly Show. On Twitter, it's at R. Kelly Show. And on Facebook, it's The Ron Kelly Show. All right, everybody. Just about 20 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock Eastern time anyway. And we are in Mountain and Central time as well, The Ron Kelly Show. Got it on Smash. And my phone is ringing. So I need to turn that off. All right, let me just turn this sound down. All right, everybody, it's the phone number here, in case anybody wants to call, because I don't usually put the phone number out there, but you know what? I'm going to hear from the Kook Fringe Republicans, 646-668-2838. Phone number here, 646-668-2838. You call into the station, and I might answer the phone. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and on the AM/FM Broadcast Network. Okay, Rex Tillerson, Betsy DeVos, and now Jeff Sessions were all confirmed by the Republican-led Senate. So it comes as no surprise, everybody, that they sailed through the confirmation hearings, with the exception of billionaire GOP contributor Betsy DeVos. Now, it's alleged that her family, she married into the family. Her husband, I believe, is her husband or either her father-in-law is the founder of the Amway Corporation. You all know the Amway that was dragged into court many times for different allegations, pyramid schemes, and et cetera, et cetera. But they made a lot of money. And it's alleged that the DeVoses contributed $200 million to the GOP. You see, because we talk about draining the swamp, everybody. Drain the swamp, and then what you find at the bottom, you appoint to your cabinet. And see, this is exactly what's going on. See, because you know, there's got to be some buyer's remorse going on in the world of the right wings, right wingers. There's got to be some buyer's remorse going on. There has to be. Because I believe that everyone expected Trump to magically step in line, magically become presidential. Not even close. Even worse than what he was when he was running in the campaign. Just an absolute circus. So there has to be some angst, to put it mildly, amongst his minions, who probably didn't expect that Trump would come out and act the way he's been acting. You know, there's even some Republicans allegedly who are questioning, you know, the Democrats are. But there are Republicans who are questioning Trump's mental health, state of his mental health. And so am I. And the mental health of the Senate and the Congress, who railed against Trump when he was running for president, and then after he won, they're all, you know, crawling up to kiss his ring like he's the Pope or something. But see, this is what happens in politics. Look what happened with Mitt Romney. Poor Mitt Romney was paraded around like a Barnum and Bailey elephant. Was paraded around by Trump. He had no intention of giving him any position. Chris Christie. But I think that Mitt Romney caught the worst of it. Because Mitt Romney went on national television and said the most horrific things that he could think of about President Trump, or candidate Trump at the time. Called him a charlatan, and I mean, just all kinds of everything but an expletive. Mitt Romney called Trump everything but an expletive. So fast forward to the time that Mitt Romney went to visit Trump, and then came out of Trump Tower and said nice things about Trump. Mitt Romney did. Now, this is the same person who threw Trump under more than one bus. Because you know what happened? He didn't think he was going to win. Nobody did. They didn't think Trump was going to win. But he did. And everybody who talked about Trump had to swallow their spit, you know, hold their nose, whatever the case may be, and embrace President Trump. You see, because you know, they are even, I mean, and I say kook fringe, the kook fringe right-wingers, because they are. Because, I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, the low information or low education voters. I'm talking about people who are on LinkedIn, et cetera, who are posting pictures of Ivanka Trump. Ivanka Trump, what the hell has Ivanka Trump done? What has she done to earn anybody's respect? What has she done to make anybody believe that she could be a president? And they're talking about 2024, so they're already talking about winning in 2020. And I got news for you. I got news for you. It may not happen. We're 25 days in, and every imaginable scenario has taken place with Trump. And the GOP and the kook fringe right wing are bending over backwards trying to make excuses for this president, who is much worse than Barack Obama ever could have been. Much worse. So this whole idea that Trump is, you know, and, you know, 25 days in, and, oh, he's doing a good job. Really? What has changed after 25 days? Nothing. Not a damn thing has changed since Trump became president. Okay, the stock market peaked a little bit. Look what the stock market was when Barack Obama, and I'm not the biggest Barack Obama fan, but look what the stock market was when Barack Obama left office. It was at 19,000. So it just peaked a few points and it went up to 20,000. So this is something that folks should be very concerned with this Trump and the Kellyanne Conway and the alternative facts. What the heck is an alternative fact? That's like, okay, you have your truth, I have mine. So my truth will be the alternative truth. It's just ridiculous. So, you know, you have Rex Tillerson. One other thing. You know what? I'll get back to it in the third break about the judges. But Rex Tillerson, Betsy DeVos, and now Jeff Sessions, as I said, were all confirmed, right? Now, Betsy DeVos was clueless. So much so that Senators Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine, two women with children, were probably the only two Republicans so far that have opposed any of Trump's cabinet choices. So, you know, she must have been horrible. And she was. She was. However, since the GOP controls all three branches of government, that we have a Secretary of State, which is the most important cabinet position, actually. The Secretary of State falls right behind the president. I mean, behind the vice president. It's the president, vice president, and then the Secretary of State. So if something happens to the vice president, if something happens to Trump and Pence, then Rex Tillerson will be president of the United States. Somebody want to check me on that? You can email me, theronkellyshow@gmail.com. That's theronkellyshow@gmail.com. Or you can tweet me, rkellyshow. Or you can call into the show at 646-668-2838, 646-668-2838. So we have a Secretary of State that has no government experience whatsoever, appointed by a president that has no experience whatsoever. You know, and you just have to wonder, after the circus of a campaign that Trump presented, just what the American electorate was thinking when they voted for him, you know, it's to be the most powerful man in the world. This is the first job that Trump has had. This is the first job that Trump has had in his whole entire life. Imagine that, your first job being the president of the United States of America. So how did Trump, who was a billionaire himself, resonate with the struggling workers who he could never identify with that put him over the top? You see, I'm going to tell you how. Trump's barroom mentality, barroom baller mentality, rather, resonated with the angry people who wanted to take their frustration out on something or someone, and they didn't care that he was very rich. But judging from their behavior at Trump's campaign events, they weren't the most respectful folks you've ever met. So Trump's politically correct, incorrect, I should say, behavior was just what the doctor ordered. Now, what will his minions think about him appointing high net worth people to his cabinet? For example, Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, is worth $655 million. Now, there was an error on Steve Mnuchin's financial disclosure form. And he forgot. He forgot about $100 million. Forgot. How do you forget about $100 million in an offshore account, of course? How do you forget about that? Commerce Secretary William Wilbur Ross is worth $2.5 billion. Betsy DeVos, she's the wife of Amway founder Dick DeVos. She's worth about $5 billion. So you got two billionaires and somebody who's close to being one. And, you know, these are Goldman Sachs people. These are all the people that Trump railed about during his campaign. All the people he railed about, this, you know, lining them up for cabinet positions. You see, so you see the snake oil, the flim-flam that Trump pulled on people, the people that voted for him. And I'm sure, I am positively sure that there's some buyer's remorse going on right now today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure of it. So in case you don't know what you're listening to, it's the Ron Kelly Show. Just coming to AM/FM Broadcasting Network, just our second program there. So folks in Boulder and Milwaukee and Tampa and Macon, Lancaster, PA, and Milwaukee are just hearing the Ron Kelly Show. So appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. You can email me, therkellyshow@gmail.com, therkellyshow@gmail.com. We got some Ron Kelly Show prize packs that we would be that we'll be giving away to those folks in those areas only. All right. We'll include everybody. therkellyshow@gmail.com. Leave your information, therkellyshow@gmail.com. And we'll make sure that we get those Ron Kelly Show prize packs to you, courtesy of BurkettPromotions.com. Okay, so what is Mexico's, and we're talking about immigration here. You know what? Let me just play a little bit of this Trump and Bill O'Reilly just before the Super Bowl.
Big week for the Trump administration. Judge Gorsuch, that rolled out very smoothly, I think.
Yes, it did.
Yes, it did. But the refugee deal, not so much.
I think it was very smooth. You had 109 people out of hundreds of thousands of travelers. And all we did was vet those people very, very carefully.
You would do anything differently if you had to do it over again?
Look,
some of your people didn't really know what the order was.
Well, that's not what General Kelly said. General Kelly, who's now Secretary Kelly, he said he totally knew, he was aware of it, and it was very smooth. It was 109 people.
Let's talk about Iran. Do you think we're on a collision course between the United States with that country?
I think it was the worst deal I've ever seen negotiated. I think it was a deal that should have never been negotiated. Absolutely, the deal that was made by the Obama administration. I think it's a shame that we had to sign a deal like that, and there was no reason to do it, and they were going to do it, have a good deal. We gave them $1.7 billion in cash, which is unheard of, and we put the money up, and we have really nothing to show for it.
Possible you tear it up.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with the we'll see what happens. Now here's what I want you to hear. I want you to hear what Trump says. I'm fast forwarding this to this point right here, minute four minutes 51 seconds into the Trump interview. I want you to hear what Trump says. And you heard what he said about the travel ban. Only 109 people were affected. Didn't happen that way. There were thousands of people who were affected. Okay. So, all right, let me just play a little bit more of this Trump interview. I'll fast forward it to this piece, right? I want you to hear this. Now, listen carefully. This is Trump and Bill O'Reilly in this interview just before the Super Bowl. Here it is.
Let's turn to domestic policy. I just spent the week in California. As you know, they are now voting on whether they should become a sanctuary state. So California and the USA are on a collision course. How do you see it?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. Sanctuary cities, as you know, I'm very much opposed to sanctuary cities. They breed crime. There's a lot of problems. If we have to, we'll defund. We give tremendous amounts of money to California.
So you're California
in many ways is out of control, as you know. Obviously, the voters agree. Otherwise, they wouldn't have voted for me.
So defunding is your weapon of choice.
Well, it's a weapon. I don't want to defund the
but
state.
You're willing to
city. I don't want to defund anybody. I want to give them the money they need to properly operate as a city or a state. If they're going to have sanctuary cities, we may have to do that. Certainly, that would be a weapon.
Is there any validity to the criticism of you that you say things you can't back up factually? And as the president, if you say, for example, that there are 3 million illegal aliens who voted, and then you don't have the data to back it up, some people are going to say that's irresponsible for a president to say that. Is there any validity
to it? Many people have come out and said, I'm right. You know,
I know, but you got to have data to back it up.
And it doesn't have to do with the vote, although that's the end result. It has to do with the registration. And when you look at the registration and you see dead people that have voted, when you see people that are registered in two states that voted in two states.
Oh, my God. Dead people. 3 million. It just goes on and on. It just goes on and on. And I'm telling you, it's scary. It's scary to listen to Donald Trump. Scary. So his weapon of choice is to take money back from people. Okay. Because, you know, many states and cities in the United States of America depend on government assistance to fill the gap, or close the gaps, rather, in their budgets. So if you want to be a sanctuary city, I'm going to take your money away from you. It's just an open threat. Just ridiculous. Okay, so here we go. All right. You know what? I'm going to have to take another break. We'll take another quick break. It's about 20 minutes before the hour. We'll take another quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Negro Motorist Green Book. It's Black History Month. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Black History Month coming, and it's the 10th, the 13th already, 14th already, so it's halfway gone because there's only 28 days to February. And I remember that because this is the month of my birth. So we'll talk about that. And also when we come back, we'll talk about Mexico's laws, Mexico's immigration laws. Now, what do they say? And also this lady, this woman, Guadalupe Garcia de Reyes, who was the focus of massive demonstrations in Arizona. We'll talk about that and what happened to her and what she had to say before she was dismissed from the United States of America. All right, so what we'll do, take a quick break, everybody. We'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and on the web, it's on blogtalkradio.com, and across the country, it's on the AM/FM radio network.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Oh no, I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products, USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great price.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BirkettPromotions.com. BirkettPromotions.com.
BirkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating. Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's about 20 minutes before the hour. And the phone number here is 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. Don't forget, anyone who exists in the Twitterdom like I do, it's R. Kelly Show. So follow the Ron Kelly Show at R. Kelly Show. And on Facebook, you can read my latest post, or you can post something there yourself. Like many of you, 5,000 or so of you have done so far, it's the Ron Kelly Show on Facebook. All right, everybody. So let's get back to the program, and let's talk about what Mexico's immigration laws are. Now, Mexico has a radical idea for a national immigration policy that most Americans would love. Now, however, Mexican officials haven't been sharing that idea with us as they press for our Congress to adopt the McCain-Kennedy Immigration Reform Bill. Right. Well, Mexico, which annually deports more illegal aliens than the United States does. Now, you believe that? Mexico deports more illegal aliens than the United States does. So how many people are running to Mexico? I guess the ones who are coming from South America, I guess they feel that Mexico is much better than El Salvador. In any case, they have much to teach us. Mexico has much to teach us about how it handles the immigration issue. Now, under Mexican law, it's a felony to be an illegal alien in Mexico. It's a felony. Now, the Supreme Court and many politicians seek to bring American law in line with foreign legal norms. It's noteworthy that nobody has argued that the U.S. look at how Mexico deals with immigration and what it might teach us about how best to solve our illegal immigration problem. Mexico has a single streamlined law that ensures that foreign visitors and immigrants are. Now, see, this is immigration law for Mexico. Now, visitors and immigrants are in the country illegally, have the means to sustain themselves economically. Now, stop right there. See, now, so if you go to Mexico, if you happen to run across the border, you are not able to get any assistance. They probably don't have much of an assistance program anyway. But if you're not from there, you're not getting anything. As opposed to when you come to America, you can cash in. You can't be a burden on society, which is the same thing that you can't be a burden on society. You have to be of economic and social benefit to society. You know, you have to be of good character and have no criminal records, and you have to be a contributor to the general well-being of the nation. The law also ensures that immigration authorities have a record of each foreign visitor. Foreign visitors do not violate their visa status. Foreign visitors are banned from interfering in the country's internal politics, so which means that you don't get caught out there trying to protest like many Mexicans do and other folks, Mexicans and everybody else who comes here, has a right to do under the Constitution. Foreign visitors who enter under false pretenses are imprisoned or deported. Foreign visitors violating the terms of their entry are imprisoned or deported. Those who aid in illegal immigration will be sent to prison. So if you take a mule or what do you call those wolves or whatever you call the guys who shepherd the people across the the line between Mexico and the United States, those who shuttle people across the border. Now, I can't see anybody wanting to be shuttled to Mexico. You know, I can't see it unless they're trying to escape prosecution here in the United States of America. But those are the rules. Now, who could disagree with such a law? Now, it makes perfect sense. The Mexican Constitution strictly defines the rights of citizens and the denial of many fundamental rights to non-citizens. Illegal, non-citizens, illegal, and illegal. See, so United States of America can take a lesson from Mexico, because you go to Mexico, you're not getting all the stuff you get here. WIC, welfare, you know, Section 8, and all these other things that people manage to get with fake ID, and who manage to get, and who put a burden on taxpayers of this country, one including myself, which I think I pay way more, too much more tax than I should. Okay, so the general law on population spells out specifically the country's immigration policy. Now, it's an interesting law, and one that should cause all of us to ask, why is our great southern neighbor pushing us to water down our own immigration laws and policies when its own immigration restrictions are the toughest on the continent? The continent being Canada, the United States of America, and Mexico. So why is Mexico lobbying to get the United States of America to water down its immigration laws when Mexico has some of the toughest laws in North America? You see, because there's a benefit. There's a direct benefit to Mexico if we water down our immigration laws. There's a direct benefit. You see, because most of the people who come here from foreign countries, most of the people who come here to make money, since the United States of America is the largest economy on the face of the planet. So many people come here to make money. And what do they do with that money? They send it back home. So there's a benefit for Mexico to send as many people over here as possible, because they'll make money and they'll send it back home. And that money that Mexicans make here and send back home directly affects the Mexican economy. So this is why they want us to – this is why the Mexican authorities want us to – relax our immigration laws to allow more Mexicans to go and to come into the United States to make money. Because Mexicans, if they're one thing, they are loyal to the people back home. And there are a lot of folks who come here from different countries who are loyal to the people back home, and they send that money back home. So it's a bonus for Mexico to send as many people to the United States of America as possible, so they can come here, work, and send their money back home, money which goes directly into the Mexican economy. It goes to people to buy food, pay rent, take care of kids, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if a felony is a crime punishable by more than 1 year in prison, the Mexican law makes it a felony to be an illegal alien in Mexico. Now, if the United States adopted such statutes, Mexico no doubt would denounce it as a manifestation of American racism and bigotry, which is exactly right. So if the United States of America, United States of America adopted the same laws that Mexico has, it would be a problem. They would consider it a problem, racism. So just to give you I'm not going to go into all of it, but just to give you an idea, there's a lot of words, prison. Prison is in almost every statute of Mexican immigration law. Prison. Prison, prison, prison. So, you know, for those people out there, the bleeding hearts, who those folks who are advocating for people who are advocating for sanctuary cities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mexico's laws, you go to Mexico and you'll be in jail. So you try going over there, and like they're over here. Now, this lady, this woman who actually she was – she had phony papers. Now, there was two instances. There was one in this one – well, actually, this was in Phoenix. And this undocumented woman was, now this is big in the news. This comes from Fox News. The undocumented woman who was deported to Mexico Thursday amid protests in downtown Phoenix said she felt like a criminal. Well, you were a criminal. She felt like she was a criminal when she was rushed out of the United States ICE offices in a caravan of unmarked cars. She complained she felt as if she were Mexican drug trafficker Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. I felt like a criminal, she says, this lady, Guadalupe Garcia de Reyes. She told Mexican reporters in Nogales. Nogales is just across the way from El Paso, Texas, obviously known for people sneaking over the border and sneaking into Texas. Now, there was a big, big-time protest for this lady. She said she felt like a criminal. Well, you were. In Mexico, you would have went to prison. America, we just sent you back. You know, so the Mexican laws are much stricter than the United States laws in the United States of America. You know, I mentioned earlier it's Black History Month, and there was something called the Negro Green Book, Negro Motorist Green Book. There was a time in the United States when Black folks began to become a little more upwardly mobile, and they were able to purchase motor vehicles. And the Negro Motorist Green Book, or it was titled the Negro Traveler's Green Book, was an annual guidebook for African-American road trippers, commonly referred to simply as the Green Book. Now, it was originated and published by New York City mailman Victor Hugo Green from 1936 to 1966, during the era of Jim Crow laws, when open and often legally prescribed discrimination against non-whites was widespread. So alternative pervasive racial discrimination and Black poverty limited car ownership. The emerging African-American middle class, though, brought automobiles as soon as they could. In response, Green expanded the coverage in his book from the New York area to much of North America, and also founded a travel agency. Now, many Black Americans took to driving in part to avoid segregation on public transportation, i.e. sitting in the back of a bus. Now, as the writer George Schuyler put it, in 1930, all Negroes who can do so purchase an automobile as soon as possible in order to be free of discomfort, discrimination, segregation, and insult. Black Americans employed as athletes, entertainers, and salesmen also traveled frequently for work purposes. Now, the African-American travelers faced a variety of dangers and inconveniences, such as white-owned businesses refusing to serve them or repair their vehicles, being refused accommodation or food by white-owned hotels, and threats of physical violence and forcible expulsion from white-only sundown towns. Now, sundown towns simply were towns that, if you was a Negro, you better not be caught in that town after sundown, because that might be the last time anybody saw you. So Green founded and published the Negro Motorist Green Book to tackle such problems, compiling resources, I should say, to give the Negro traveler information that will keep him from running into difficulties, embarrassments, and to make his trip more enjoyable. Now, from a New York Post-focused first edition published in 1936, Green expanded the work to cover much of North America, including the United States, and parts of Canada, Mexico, the Caribbean, and Bermuda. The Green Book became the Bible of Black travel during Jim Crow, enabling Black travelers to find lodgings, businesses, and gas stations that would serve them along the road. It was little known outside the African-American community. Now, shortly after passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which outlawed the types of racial discrimination that had made the Green Book necessary, publication ceased, and it fell into obscurity. There has been a revived interest in it in the early 21st century in connection with the studies of Black travel during the Jim Crow era. Now, so what happened was that the Civil Rights Act was passed, which really didn't do a whole lot for African Americans, but it was passed. And so when the Civil Rights Act was passed, this gentleman who wrote this book, Mr. Green, Victor Hugo Green, a mailman who lived in New York City, once the Civil Rights Act was passed, he felt like, you know, and I'm talking about this in honor of Black History Month. So when the Civil Rights Act was passed, he felt like, okay, well, I don't need to publish this anymore because now the act is passed and we're going to be fine. this is what he thought. But you see, you can't legislate morality. You know, there were some council people in urban centers that wanted to outlaw saggy pants, for example. You know, where the young black men mostly would have their pants hanging down beneath their butt cheeks and their underwear on full display. And there were people who wanted to pass a law against that. But you can't legislate morality. They would have still done it. So you can't legislate racial equality. As much as the United States of America has tried, you can't do it. Now, I'm not, you know, saying that white folks are demons or devils or whatever the case may be. No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is laws are not going to make a racist suddenly accept anyone. Now, this is, goes both ways, you know, because the black racist is not going to accept a white person. Now, unfortunately, the white folks have the power in America, so nobody cares if a black person is racist, because black people are not in a position to discriminate against white people. We don't own the banks. We don't own the the hotels and the facilities the real estate, the massive real estate holdings that white folks have, including Mr. Trump, who is alleged to have discriminated against some folks in Queens in the 70s. I don't want them coming after me. You know, I have insurance for that. But so you can't legislate morality. So even though there's a Civil Rights Act and even though there's a Voting Rights Act, those things are still being challenged by white folks. But you can't legislate morality. You cannot legislate racial sensitivity. It cannot be done. They talk about, when you talk about police brutality, and the first thing that they say is, well, you know, and this is not a black against white show, ladies and gentlemen. Don't get that twisted here. This is not a black against white show. You know, this isn't about social justice or any of those things. But I'm just making a point that you can legislate it. You see, they talk about when there's police brutality, something happens, they go, oh, we're going to retrain. No, it doesn't work. You can't retrain somebody from what they've been doing their whole lives. So if a black person has been a racist their whole life, you can't train them out of it. And no law is going to make them stop. Because they, you know, just like with the Jim Crow. I mean, there's laws now against discrimination and laws against, a bunch of things. But people still, you can't change what's in the inside. So when Trump ran, and they all came out, all those folks. Because this isn't just about jobs. There's other things here. There's other things that are going on here. You know, but this isn't about racism. And I'm not against white people or anything like that. This is the Ron Kelly Show. You know, so we got about, next show, we'll talk about black banks and the disappearing black banks, I should say, and what should or would happen. And a whole bunch of other things. There's about a minute left of the program, ladies and gentlemen. So I want to thank you so much for joining me today. And we'll see you back here next Tuesday afternoon for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. Until then, everybody, take care of yourself and be safe out there. Right.